So our first true storyteller, not just me, is Esther Honig. And up until a few months ago, you might have known me as the Harvest Public Media reporter for KUNC. Well, Esther has taken the reins of Harvest Public Media at KUNC. She's in Fort Collins native, who has been living in Ohio and Kansas City for the last several years, but she's back in town. So give a big round of applause for Esther Honig.
Hello. How's everyone doing tonight? Good. Thank you for letting me be one of the first to share my fiasco, though I did not kick any endemic species anywhere. I lived in Fort Collins for 5 or 6 years when I was little, so sort of a native, but always in my heart. So, after I graduated from high school, I decided that what I wanted to do was study abroad in Mexico. And, my mom didn't really like this idea. She wasn't super supportive of the thought of her youngest daughter moving to one of the biggest cities in the world. And she would say things like, well, why don't you just go to college first and then you can study abroad? But that's not what I wanted. You see, my plan was that I would move to Mexico City, I would enroll in the university as an international student, and I would study there for a full year. Because I wanted to be able to say that I was living somewhere. Not that I was, visiting for a semester or for a week, just like another tourist. I had this dream that I would learn to speak Spanish fluently, just like that, and I would make all these incredible friends. And I'd learn to navigate and understand this really complicated and intricate city, just like another local. And like these walls would just open up for me, and I would see and experience the things that, the typical tourist doesn't get to see. And before long, it'd be like Mexico City was my second home. And before I could do any of that, of course, I needed money. So I worked a few jobs as a server, and I moved in with my older sister, Manya, so that I could save money on rent. And now, unlike my mom, Manya did believe in my dream to move to Mexico, and she was really supportive of it, so she would do things to help me save money, like pay for our utilities or help me pay for groceries. And when she would do these things, she would say, when you move to Mexico, I'm going to come and visit you. So fast forward like 5 months, I'm on the plane to Mexico. Mexico City. I'm 19, and I'm flying in at night. And I'll never forget that as the plane came in for a landing, at first you couldn't see anything out of the window. It was just pitch black. And then the plane sort of tilts sideways, and all of a sudden, all this light just flooded in. Like there's these, thousands of homes and buildings and skyscrapers, and it just goes on forever as far as you can see. It's like this ocean. The city is gigantic. And in that moment, I got this like sickening, like nauseating feeling at the pit of my stomach. Like I hadn't even stepped foot in the country yet, but I'd already eaten too many street tacos. And I realized, what I had gotten myself into. So, obviously, living in Mexico City is not as easy as I anticipated. Keeping up in conversations with my high school Spanish is a lot harder than I thought it would be, and so making friends is even harder. I don't know if anyone here has ever learned a second language, or if you've tried to be funny in your second language. It is really hard. And I remember once I was trying to joke around with a classmate, and I said, you'd look really good with a mullet. And I said to him in Spanish, business in the front, party in the back. And he just kind of looked at me, you know, and he nodded and smiled. And later he told me, yeah, he thought I was trying to say something like, I have a business and a party on my butt. So I'm fumbling. I'm trying to pretend like I know what I'm doing. But in reality, living in this city is really hard. And it can get really lonely. And it can get scary. And it's definitely, you know, overwhelming. And before I know it, 5 months have passed. And my older sister, Manya, is coming to visit. And I'm kind of panicking. Because I had planned on being her, like, Anthony Bourdain at this point. I have to repay her for all the generosity she's shown me. I need to prove to her this, you know, how successful I am as an expat and take her on this unforgettable trip and show her, you know, my skills for travel and Spanish. But I can't manage to, like, order a drink at the bar without messing it up or, you know, get home from the grocery store without taking a wrong turn and getting lost. And so, yeah, I'm worried. I'm panicking. Manya flies into town, and I have the first few days planned out. We're gonna spend, you know, some time running around the city. We're gonna go to museums. We're gonna eat tacos. We're gonna eat tortas. We're gonna drink this thing called pulque. And then I've arranged for us to go to the beach. We're gonna leave the city. And we're not gonna go to just any beach. I don't wanna go to Acapulco or Cancun or anything like that. Again, like, I wanna take her, you know, off the beaten path. I wanna take her somewhere she couldn't get on her own or she couldn't figure out how to get to on her own. Because again, right, I have to be this, like, Anthony Bourdain. So I go around, before she comes into town, about a week before, I go around to all my friends and I ask them, do you know of a small beach town where no tourists go? And, you know, everyone's kind of looking at me like, what are you talking about? My friend Emilio is like, yeah, like, I know of a place. There's this town called Cucharas, which that means spoons in Spanish. And he's like, yeah, went there with my family over the summer. It's just this little town. Not a lot of people go out of their way to go there. They named it Spoons, you know. But yeah, sure, I don't think a lot of tourists go there. It might be fun. So I'm like, perfect. That's exactly it. That's what I want. So Manya and I, we take off one morning for Spoons. We pack just the essentials. I have our swimsuits. I bring a knife for cutting mangoes and eating them on the beach. A few change of clothes, and we take off. And it's several hours of travel on 5 different buses. And towards the end of the day, I start to get really nervous that I've gotten us lost. And then we arrive at Spoons. And this place is tiny. There's like 3 or 4 hotels, a few mom and pop restaurants. The streets aren't even paved. It is small. And we get there, and the first thing we do is we want to find a room for the night. And Emilio had told me. He said, you know, the best thing about this place is it's cheap. So rooms there are only 200 pesos a night. Don't let anyone charge you more than that, because they might. You know, they'll see you're a tourist. They might try and charge you more, but don't let them. And I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm determined to get us a good deal. No one's going to try and rip us off. So I go to the first hotel. I ask how much for a room. They say 400 pesos. And he's not, you know, try and talk him down. He's not budging on the price. He's firm. And Manya, who doesn't speak Spanish, is like, what's going on? And I'm like, this guy is just, you know, trying to swindle us. Let's get out of here. So we go to the next hotel. At that hotel, same thing. $400. He's firm on the price. Not letting me talk him out of it. So we move on to the next hotel. Same thing, $400. And I'm like, you know what, forget this, let's get out of here. So we walk back to the center of town. And Manya's like, everyone here is like, you know, staring at us. And I'm like, no, like, You know, I mean, it hasn't even fazed me. I don't even notice it. But I'm like, you know, or tourists. Like, maybe, you know, they just don't see a lot of tourists. And we walk past this restaurant. And in the window, there's a sign that says room for rent, 200 pesos. I'm like, perfect. I walk in. And there's, you know, it's a little lunch spot. There's, like, plastic tables and chairs. There's just one server. And she's this older woman. And she shows us the room. And it's on top of the restaurant, on this little balcony. And it's a very simple room. So it's like cement floors, no paint on the walls. There's a rickety bed in one corner. In the other corner, there's a toilet. And next to the toilet, there's a dead gecko. And Manya is not so sure about this. And I'm like, this is exactly what I had in mind. We'll take it. So we put our things down, and we're starving, so we head out to find something to eat, and we go to the beach, and this beach is beautiful, and there's no one there, you know, it's empty, the sun is setting, so it's like cotton candy and pastel clouds, and we find this little spot to have dinner at, and we order seafood and margaritas, and we take selfies of each other, and Manya starts telling me about the girl she's not friends with anymore, and I start telling her about the boy I'm not dating anymore, and we're just having such a good time, and it's like, yes, like, I did it. We're here. This is what I wanted for us, and I can finally, like, relax a little bit. So finish up dinner. We head back to our room. We're exhausted, and, we're so tired, you know, from all our travel that day. We change into our PJs, and we fall asleep right on top of the sheets. Now, the next thing I know, I wake up to my sister gasping. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a man run out of our room, and I scream. And I look over at Manya, and she's folded in on herself, and she's wailing, and she's completely inconsolable. So, in our stupidity, we had forgotten to lock the door of our room. And some man, I don't know who he was or where he came from, snuck into our room while we were sleeping, and he tried to pull off my sister's shorts. And Manya, the first thing she does is she reaches for our passports, make sure that those weren't stolen. And they're there, we're fine. And then she grabs the mango knife that we brought. It's this little steak knife. And she holds it in her hands, and she's shaking and crying. And I have this little keychain pepper spray that I bring with me, and I'm holding it, and I'm shaking and I'm crying. And we're sitting on this bed together with our weapons out, ready to use. And we both have this horrifying realization that if that man comes back and tries to do anything for us, to us, who's to say anyone is around that's gonna come help us? Now, Manya had been getting over a cold, so she had a bottle of NyQuil. And she takes a gulp of it because she says she just wants to go back to sleep and pass out. So she closes her eyes and she drifts off to sleep, but I don't. I stay awake the whole night thinking about how god-awful this trip has just become in an instant. And it is entirely my fault. You see, I brought us here to this strange town to stay in this strange room. And I was supposed to be the guide. I was supposed to be, you know, showing my sister around this country, and I let this horrifying and violating thing happen to her Well, she was lying right next to me. And it was all so that I could prove myself. So the sun comes up. Manya and I, we pack our things and we are gone. We go to the bus station, and over breakfast, we decide this trip is not a total loss. I don't have Google or even a Lonely Planet at this point, but I do have a map of Mexico, and I see on it that the city of Veracruz is only a few hours away. And I don't know if anyone here has ever been to the city of Veracruz. Okay, that corner, all the hands are up. But if you have, you know that it is the furthest thing from a beach town off the beaten path where no tourists go. So we get there and we check into a hotel, which has, you know, a concierge, there's a front desk, there's carpeting in the hotel room, and there's no dead gecko. And we head off to the beach, which is packed. Shoulder to shoulder. There are dozens of people trying to sell us seashell necklaces and t-shirts and trying to get us to pay to take a photo with a parrot on our shoulder. And Manya gets incredibly sunburned and I step on a sea urchin and get the spine stuck in my foot. And then we're walking around town. We don't see there's a whole lot else to do, but we stumble upon this wax museum. And we go to the wax museum because it has air conditioning. But it also has all these statues of random celebrities from the 90s. Like Jennifer Love Hewitt is there, and Hulk Hogan, and the Pope. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, this is the furthest thing from what I wanted. This has to be the antithesis of a beach vacation off the beaten path. But we're having so much fun. We're taking selfies of each other, high-fiving Pamela Anderson, and pinching Bon Jovi's butt, and we're laughing really loud, and we're probably, you know, weirding out everyone else there, or at least being incredibly annoying. Because we were being really dumb tourists, which is exactly what we were. Thank you.